From the Land de Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 11th day of February 2015. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vake. She's at Stuart Peterson right here in Champaign County. Take up the cash grain market with the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility outside of Logansport, Indiana. That's the ethanol plant. And we'll take a look at the weather forecast with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Along the way, I'll urge you to purchase your tickets for our all-day Ag Outlook, either online at willag.org or by dialing this number, 217-333-7300. And to visit with me this evening in Galesburg at 6:30 p.m. for another one of our Will Ag Market panels, open free to everybody at the Knox Agri Center. And we'll do it all this afternoon on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check now the numbers as they finished up in Chicago. For this Wednesday afternoon, March corn at 385 and three quarters, down 2 1/4 for the day. The May at 393 and three quarters, 2 1/2 lower. And July at 401 and a quarter, down 2 1/2 cents. December of next year at 415 and a quarter, down 3 1/4 for the day. From the soy complex, nearby bean futures on the afternoon finished at $9.77 and three quarters, up 8 3/4. The May at 980 and three quarters, 6 1/2 cents higher. July 985. And three quarters up 6, and November being 6 cents higher at $9.59 and three quarters. January of next year, 2015 contract, $9.65 and a quarter, up 6 1/4 for the day. The bean meal on the afternoon at $3.29.60, up 2.70. May at $2.40 higher, $3.22.20. Bean oil for the day, $31.75, up 30 cents. Soft red winter wheat in Chicago at $5.25 and three quarters, up 4 cents in the March. July at $5.27, three quarters of a cent higher. The Kansas City hard at $5.59 and a quarter, up 5 1/4. In July, the harvest month at $5.64 and three quarters, 3 1/2 cents higher for the day. Live cattle futures in Chicago finished the nearby contract at $158.55, down 55 cents on the day. April at $151.15 in the live cattle, $2.62 1/2 lower. Feeder cattle at $198.72 1/2, were $3.30 higher, rather lower. April at $198.60 were down $3.12 in the lean hogs on the afternoon. Finished the February at $61.35, down 17 1/2. The April, $2.50 lower at $64.07 1/2. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
Turning your attention now to the outside markets. The crude oil at $49.08 a barrel, down 94 cents on the afternoon. Heating oil at $1.81.07. That's diesel fuel, 1 1/2 cents lower for the day. Gasoline in the RBOB at $1.54. On the wholesale price, 1 2/10 cents lower. And natural gas at $2.80 1/10 cents. That's 12 1/2 cents higher for the day. Ethanol futures trading $1.44 6 cents. Finished 1 7/10 cents lower. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Mostly cloudy skies. A high of 36 degrees. It will be breezy with a northwest wind at 17 to 20 miles an hour. Tonight, a 20% chance of snow. That after 9 p.m. Mostly cloudy and a low of just 10 degrees. Wind chill values between 7 below and 3 above. And be blustery, of course. Northwest winds tonight at 16 to 23, gusting to 34. And then tomorrow, sunny skies, but a high of just 13 degrees. The wind chills during the day, 2 below to 10 below. It will stay blustery all day with a north-northwest wind at 14 to 20 miles an hour. That will gust as high as 33 tomorrow. And then tomorrow evening, mostly cloudy and a low of 7. Again, wind chills below 0, minus 4 to above 1. Northwest winds at 8 to 13. On Friday, cloudy skies in 27. Saturday, partly sunny and 17 degrees. On Sunday, mostly sunny skies and 16. And to start the work week, it's Washington's birthday. The markets are closed. A partly sunny day and 27 degrees. A more complete look at the weather forecast comes up at the bottom of the half hour. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason, hoping that you'll visit our website and purchase your tickets for our all-day Ag Outlook very, very soon. Time is running out, in fact. If you have not dialed in yet or visited our website at willag.org to purchase your tickets, you can do it online there or 217-333-7300. Right now is the time to do it because we're getting close to the time. This is the big deal, the one event of the year you should not miss. All of our analysts, more than a dozen of them, plus three extras will be there on hand for the whole day over at the Beef House. And for the $25, you get all of that plus the lunch. Hey, why not? It's a good deal over at the Beef House, March the 10th, 217-333-7300. Want a little preview? No lunch, no supper included, but you'll get some cookies and maybe a little bit of a set of hors d'oeuvres. You can come tonight to the Knox Agri Center in Galesburg, and this one's absolutely free. I'll have on hand with me Blue Reef Marketing's Chip Nellinger from Bates Commodities, Kurt Kimmel, and from Strategic Farm Marketing, Bill Mayer. In fact, Strategic will also do a little question and answer session and talk some about the Farm Bill and crop insurance decisions. It's a great evening. I'll see you tonight, I hope, in Galesburg at the Knox Agri Center. And if not there, for sure, right over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana at 217-333-7300. Or willag.org. Now, on this Wednesday afternoon, the 11th day of February, time to talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vake. She's at Stuart Peterson. She'll also be over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. And we're going to talk about yesterday's, Jackie, I think, USDA reports. What'd you think of those numbers? What'd you find of interest? What have you been talking to your producers about?
Well, I'd have to say, Todd, on the U.S. side, I'd have to say the increase on the ethanol production by 75 million bushels, that I was surprised by that. I didn't expect that they were going to push that further, although you know they're not going to do anything based on what we're hearing, you know, that some of these guys are going to hot idle until they actually see it happen. And so the reduction in feed use by 25 million on corn, that wasn't too big a surprise either. So, you know, but that ethanol number is probably the one that grabbed me right up front, you know. And I saw that they reduced imports on beans and wheat both. That was another thing, you know, that says that they know that we probably are going to have a good amount of grain available, especially when you look at a 385 million bushel carryout. Now, the 385 million bushel carryout on beans was at the very low end of the guesses. And so, you know, that was maybe a little bit of a surprise, but not too much. You know, you would expect to see them pump up the export number and even the crush number. You know, it's going to be going to be interesting as we move forward to see if we can keep that crush number up. You know, the hog prices are down a great deal, and there's some question as to what feed demand might be coming out of China, and that has supported us for a long time. The wheat, not a big surprise on wheat at all. I mean, you know, the drop in exports was offset somewhat by the drop in imports, and so it was just a 5 million bushel difference. I think the biggest surprise on the world numbers came in on the big change in wheat production at the world level. I mean, we know that the potential was there for that, but it was just kind of surprising to actually see that happen. And then on top of that, the carry-in number got adjusted from last month. It went up from 185 million metric tons up to 187 and plus. And so, you know, both of those things had a large impact on the increase in the carryout. On beans, not much of a surprise at the world level. We went down just a little bit. You know, they dropped Brazil by 1 million metric tons and raised Argentina by 2 million metric tons on beans. I still think Brazil's probably going to go down at least another million metric tons, but it's very hard to say. And, you know, the corn numbers stayed pretty static when it comes to the world. So it was kind of surprising and disappointing, I guess, that we didn't get a better bounce out of that report than what we did. And yet I think it's primarily because, you know, your traders are looking toward next week's USDA Ag Forum numbers as far as acreage goes, you know, the first guesses, basically.
And you'll be there, in fact, in Washington, D.C. We kind of hope that you'll report back to us on what those numbers look like and what the mood is in D.C. about agriculture and its future in the coming year. I know you will, so I'm looking forward to that. While you're there, I'll bet you'll hear a lot about some of the outside markets and the forces that are taking place. And there are some developments even today on that front, especially in Eastern Europe, in the Ukraine, and in Russia.
Absolutely. You know, in fact, this is probably the most positive we've seen in terms of them nearing a peace agreement. That would be quite something. You wonder how much of this is coming about because of the drop in oil prices, the sanctions, all the other things that are going on. But if it does happen, that would be a great thing. That's for certain. The China situation is interesting as we head into next week. A week from today, basically national holiday all the way from the 18th to the 24th because of that Lunar New Year and the Spring Festival. And so, you know, that always has an impact or, you know, backward impact basically because they don't believe that they're going to do any business with us. Over the years, it's been interesting because we have seen businesses happen. So how much of a national holiday it is, I don't know, but the perception on the part of the trade will certainly be that. And we're closed on Monday due to President's Day. So, you know, that just adds another, some more impact to what's going on. You know, when you look at I talked a little bit about the extreme price changes when it comes to hogs and what type of impact that may have on the whole picture. You know, this West Coast last week when we were at the Hog Expo in Peoria, you know, Brett Stewart talked a great deal about this and how much the cold storage is backed up. Well, today we're starting to see some of the reaction to that. We're seeing Asia canceling some beef and pork orders because it's adding as much as 3 weeks to delivery. Cargill is testifying at the Senate today because of that. And so the one good thing on the cattle side is that the feedlots are really current. You know, they're at least not backed up with a ton of choice cattle just standing there getting heavier and going out of condition. On the hog side of things, we know that we continue to see expansion in the hog industry. And, you know, once you start to see everything back up down at the West Coast, then it starts to back up out into the country, too. And so this needs to get taken care of as quick as it possibly can.
Hey, speaking of things on the international front and trade, I'll take you back to Russia, but not with Ukraine this time, because there are some things afoot as it relates to trade with Russia, too.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, you know, you look at the Russian situation, and wow, it's amazing. Egypt right now is trying to work around the wheat export tariff that Russia has in place, and so one of the big pushes that we got in the corn market came out of the wheat market because the belief was that we were going to give Egypt all of this money because they were applying for credit from us, and therefore we were going to get all of this wheat business. And now we find out that they're trying to work with Russia to get outside the export tariff. So will it really happen? You know, it's a big question in my mind as to whether that means anything. And especially when you look at the fact that Egypt is talking about building an 8 million metric ton wheat silo in conjunction with Russia. In other words, you know, Russia and Egypt would both finance it. So to me, that really secures more of a situation as far as them getting it from Russia. But, you know, I guess if you borrow money from somebody, you can pretty much use it where you want to, right?
Hey, speaking of borrowing money, Greece is in trouble again. It seems like we talk more about this little country in the European Union than maybe we ought to on the air, but it does have an impact on world trade and commodity markets.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the big thing that bounced the market last week also was the idea that the new government, the new anti-austerity government, was going to be cooperative and concrete their agreement to be able to work with them on the creditors. Now it looks as if that maybe is changing a little bit, and it looks as if this could turn into more of a showdown on this bailout program than anything else. What they're actually talking about doing, and this is amazing because I for the life of me can't understand why you would talk about doing another bailout program for a country that is very clearly not interested in paying you back in the first place. but that is what it seems to be. And so, you know, we'll have to see once what happens. I don't think there's going to be any quick deal unveiled, but I do think that there'll be some proposals unveiled. It's still just amazing to think that they'll even consider doing this, but that's the way it is.
One more thing on the world front before I bring you back to the United States. We probably ought to discuss Brazil. They have some fraud. They've been moving around corn. They've been calling it, oranges at some point, or soybeans, and they've been calling it oranges. And they're in just kind of some political turmoil there.
Oh, it is. It's a major problem. They have, you know, this tax fraud case goes so deep. I mean, it's collusion between farmers, grain merchandisers, politicians, all over the place. And what they were doing was they were collecting tax credits in one area and applying it against the tax that's put onto beans in another area. And so defrauding the government out of taxes. And so I think this goes very, very deep. And it's just like over in Argentina where there's all this investigation going on into whether a witness that was going to testify against the president of Argentina suddenly got killed. I guess all it says is, as much as we complain about our situation in the U.S., we should be really happy that we live here, because it's not that it doesn't happen here, but it's just not as common. And so we'll see what happens in Brazil. It's funny that this came up in Brazil, because I would have expected this to come up in Argentina, where they are sitting on all the beans that they're sitting on. But thieves can think and liars can figure. And they all seem to be able to pull it off, but get caught at some point in time. So the fallout could be pretty severe.
And then the last couple of things, we probably ought to take up ethanol. USDA talked about it in its long-term projection, said ethanol's flat, and stocks, at least this year, appear to be building.
Oh, they definitely are. We are quickly evaporating the how much ahead we were over last year, and just starting to build stocks that are becoming somewhat burdensome. And that's why I have to say I was so shocked at the number that came out in the report yesterday, to think that we're going to use another 75 million and we're going to go at 5.25 billion bushels of corn. It just makes me really wonder. I'm anxious to go to Ag Forum to be able to ask some of them if they've adjusted the equation as to how many gallons are actually produced by a bushel of corn. Because the industry, the RFA, has a totally different number than what the USDA had been using. So I can't say they haven't, but I certainly want to find out if they've done that or not.
And finally, when you look at corn futures themselves, anything interesting in the charts?
Well, actually, there is. When you look at the March corn futures, Todd, it appears that we're trying to build a head and shoulders on this March corn futures. What kind of a bounce would it give us? Well, it looks like if it does ever verify, and it hasn't verified at this point in time yet, it's actually got to probe through the 100-day moving average to be able to do it. But at the same time, it maybe would give us a 10, 11, 12-cent bump, and so that could put us up to maybe that four buck range on March, perhaps, if it verifies. But, that's one of the only things we can be looking at right now, because there isn't much else on the chart at all. We definitely have a shoulder in place on one side and another shoulder looking to be built on the other side. And so we'll see once if it happens or not. Very interesting markets.
Jackie, thanks so much for taking the time with us. We always enjoy our conversations.
Thank you, Todd. Have a great day. Take care.
Jackie Vakes, this was Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. A quick news note for the day, February the 27th, not very far away. Remember that date, February the 27th, is the deadline for landowners and those farmers who happen to have power of attorney to file the first two farm program decisions. Time, of course, is short between now and then. But fortunately for most corn farmers, the decisions should be pretty easy, says Ag Law Policy Specialist at the University of Illinois, Jonathan Kappas.
We've heard a lot of concern out of FSA that there has not been the amount of landowners they would have expected to come through the door. And so everybody's encouraged to get those decisions made. It's not the program decision. There's nothing really to wait on at this point. Your payment yields, that's such an easy decision, taking the highest yield number. Your base acres, you're really just looking at the allocation and what value each crop base has under the programs. We talk about Illinois, it's really how much corn base do you start with and how much do you end up with. If it increases your corn base, typically that allocation is going to make sense for the farm.
The yield update and base acre allocation decisions can be made right now. These are due to the Farm Service Agency, the FSA, February the 27th. The final farm program decision, the choice between ARC and PLC, is due March the 31st. By the way, if you're a landowner or a farmer trying to make these farm program decisions and are a bit lost, there's a lot of help that's available online at the Farm Doc Daily website. A whole bunch of webinars are there. There are many, many still events out in the countryside, so find one of those. But at a minimum, go to the Farm Doc Daily website and hit Farm Bill Toolbox. That's Farm Bill Toolbox. Search for Farm Doc Daily or Farm Bill Toolbox in Google, and you'll find all kinds of easy-to-use information. In fact, the pamphlet that was just put up last week on the Farm Bill Toolbox website that guides you through the process really quickly, really simply, and really easily. The base acre allocation and the yield updates are due by the end of this month. They're due February 27th. Cannot wait on that decision. Fortunately, you don't have to know whether you're taking ARC or PLC when you make those updates. Just make the updates, and then you'll have another month through the 31st of March to make the farm program decision, the decision between taking ARC or PLC. Find all that information on the Farm Doc Daily website. Look for the Farm Bill Toolbox. Closing Market Report is, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. For this Wednesday, let's take up the cash grain market. Now, Pete Peterson is on the phone line. He's at the Anderson's Climbers facility located near Logansport, Indiana. Thanks, Pete, for taking the time with us. How's the ethanol plant running? And more importantly, how are the margins for the day?
Well, margins are still thin, but, you know, right now, with the commitment stuff we have out there, we're doing okay. Two arrives, or our last few days have really picked up because of the weather. Basis is starting to narrow in a little bit just to stimulate a little bit more movement out here.
Tell me about that. How much has it narrowed?
Right now, we're at two under here, and that's creeped in over the last week or so by about 4 cents. In the area here, it's, you know, it's one of those things, volume does speak volumes, I guess.
And did you manage to pull many trucks in and fresh sales or not?
Not many fresh sales, just a lot of stuff with the weather and everything. February contracts have been hitting us pretty hard the last couple of days. We've dumped 260 and 280-plus trucks over the last couple of days, so it's starting to pick up pretty decent.
You've done not too bad. Will you widen out next week?
You know, it's one of those things right now. I'm not, the world's most comfortable as far as our position. We get a little bit of excess in there. We may do that. But with the futures on the board, still continue to take a hit. You got to be kind of cautious how quick you do things.
Okay. And again, can you give me your bids for the day?
Sure. Right now, we're at two under. We're at 383. And beans into our Delphi facility, we're actually two under at 975.
Hey, thanks so much, Pete.
You bet. Bye.
That is Pete Peterson. He is with the Anderson's Climbers facility. They're located, of course, near Logansport, Indiana. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. When we come back, we'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast with Drew Lerner. He's at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. If you haven't, please do dial this number now to get your tickets for our All-Day Ag Outlook, 217-333-7300.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on upcoming land auctions and offerings can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
It's National Peppermint Patty Day. It's also Don't Cry Over Spilled Milk Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1752, the first hospital in America opened in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, to do the work of Benjamin Franklin. In 1785, the Philadelphia Society for Promoting Agriculture was founded. It is the oldest active agricultural organization in the U.S. In 1802, Lydia Maria Frances Child was born. She wrote books of advice for women, including The Frugal Housewife. In 1928, the first Lazy Boy reclining chair was invented. Designed with a piece of plywood and a yardstick, the finished model was a wood slat porch chair. Upholstered chairs did not come until the spring of 1929. And in 1994, use of the genetically engineered growth hormone for cows, RBGH, began. The approval process took almost a decade. It was the first time that altered genes were approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration for injection into live animals. The growth hormone improved a cow's milk production by as much as 15 pounds a day. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Wednesday afternoon. On the line with us is Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City to take up the agricultural weather forecast. But let's stay a little closer to home first, Drew, because we have some sufferingly cold weather coming our way. When will it start and how cold will it be?
Well, you know, it's going to come in waves. So about every other day, we're going to have a surge of cold coming around. The biggest cool off, though, it looks like it's headed for the region next week. And I would be certainly irresponsible, I suppose, if I didn't focus on that for a minute. That particular cold air mass next week is preceded by a significant amount of snow. So we could have some pretty impressive winter weather across the region. But all this is still several days away and always need a lot of caution when we start talking about a storm system and cold air surge that's a week away, and that's what it is. Before we get to that point, we've got about three small disturbances that will come across the region. Each one will produce a little shot of cold air, nothing that's going to create a damaged environment for our wheat or livestock across the region, but there will be certainly a couple of very nippy days coming up ahead where we'll see low temperatures getting down to the positive single-digit readings and some lower teens in the lower parts of the Midwest, and upper parts of the region will see some negative and positive single-digit readings. The cold air mass that we're talking about, though, is a week away. At the moment, the last 24 hours or so, the models have really just been all over this thing and trying to make it very impressive. And if it were to verify, we'd probably see freezes to the Gulf of Mexico coast down into Florida. We'll probably have some pretty cold temperatures and then right here in the lower parts of the Midwest with temperatures probably dropping down into negative single-digit readings possibly during the middle part of next week. But I really think this is overdone and future model runs will probably correct it, so we'll keep a close eye on that.
Okay, and then turn your attention to South America, where they're in the beginnings of a planting season for second season crop, corn, that is, and harvest season for soybeans.
That's right, and the weather pattern in the last week or so has certainly brought a little bit of concern to the marketplace just simply because it got so wet for a little while in some of these center-south crop areas in Brazil that had been actually drying down significantly during the month of January. Well, all of that dryness is more or less gone now, and we're looking at an environment that will generate periodic rain and thunderstorm activity all the way through the next 2 weeks. There will be some breaks in it. I don't want to make it sound like it rains every day. That the farmers are going to have to work around the precipitation, so field work may not be as aggressive as they'd like it to be, but there shouldn't be any quality concerns for the majority of the crops there.
Hey, thanks, Drew.
All right. Have a good day.
That's Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Don't forget to buy your tickets for All Day Ag Outlook, the 10th day of March, 217-333-7300, just $25, or visit our website at willag.org, where in the calendar section you'll find tonight's event at the Knox Agri Center in Galesburg. Starts at 6:30 p.m. Bill Mayer, Chip Nellinger, and Kurt Kimmel, along with myself, will be there at the Knox Agri Center. We hope to see you tonight. in Galesburg.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.